Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com, and I'm joined by...
Ben Bolin. I'm a video writer here at the very same website, which works out well for us, I'd say.
Yeah, makes the intro simple, right?
It does. It'd be a long story every time if I was, you know, a video writer from some other place, or if you were the auto editor of some other organization.
See, we've already stretched it.
We've stretched it a bit.
Worked out all right.
It worked out.
But, go ahead. You have something on your mind there.
I was going to ask you, I have a, as we said before, I have a Monte Carlo, and it's doing something funny, but I can't figure out if it has some, you know, if I can't figure out if it's something that just comes with age, if it's something that I can fix myself. And so I was thinking we could get right into this.
Mm-hmm.
Engine trouble.
Sure.
Tell me about it.
So you've got some symptoms. You got something you're noticing that's unusual, right?
Right.
All right. Well, that's one of the key things to watch for, is just to keep your eyes and ears and even your nose open for potential problems under the hood. Engines, no doubt about it, they're expensive. Probably the most expensive part of your car, if not the most expensive part of your car.
Sure.
In most cases. And the strange thing about this is that an engine will almost always give you a warning sign when something is going wrong. Almost always. Not every time, but if you were able to identify what's going on under the hood, if you were able to have your senses keen enough to tune into that. To diagnose it. You'll be able to understand what's going on there and potentially head off a very expensive problem.
Now, let me tell you, in full disclosure, the only time that an engine ever caught me by surprise was the very first time I was about 17 years old, and the alternator belt, the serpentine belt,
mm-hmm.
Just popped on me. I had no idea what was going on, man. I barely, mm-hmm. I pulled over, and I looked in there, and I thought, how did this happen? Because
Did it break?
Yes.
It broke?
Yes.
Did it squeal beforehand?
I don't recall.
You would have noticed if it did.
I think I would have. I would have.
So there you go. That's one time when something can go wrong. That's not terrible.
No.
The serpentine belt falls off. If a timing belt fell off, that's a bigger deal.
Right. But
or broke.
Right. But you can put those belts back on. You can get a new belt and put it on.
A new serpentine belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
yourself.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. You can do that on the side of the road if you had to. But that's one of the cases where, you know, something can catch you by surprise. Mm-hmm. And that's not your fault, of course. That just happens. I've had that happen while I was driving and had no idea until, you know, there's smoke billowing from out underneath the hood. I wasn't watching the gauges either. And see, that's another thing you can watch for, is that if your car begins to overheat at that point,
mm-hmm.
you may notice that, you know, that, well, the fan's not working.
Right.
Why isn't the fan working? You have to kind of, in every part of this, whatever's going wrong, you can look back another step. What's causing that to happen? Mm-hmm. And that's key. I mean, looking back, trying to find the root cause of what's causing what you're noticing. So you need to go back a little further than what you think.
Okay, I've got an idea then. Maybe we do a little walkthrough, and maybe I could say, I'll play that person at the mechanics off at the garage who asks a question. That person who comes in, you know, and this bothers me. Even though I'm not a mechanic, it bothers me when someone comes in and I hear them say, hey, my engine's making this sort of, and then they kind of beatbox out their mm-hmm. impression of their engine.
I kind of like that. I like what they when they do that. It's fun to watch and fun to listen to.
It's sort of going. Yeah, it's very confusing.
Very nice.
Thanks, man.
Good work.
I ripped that off from a lady at the Jiffy Lube. But
you're sampling the lady from
I'm
the Jiffy
sampling.
Lube.
I am. I am indeed.
Good work.
But so, let's play that game, and let's say I come in and the worst, most ominous light that can come on in your dashboard, check engine.
That check engine light, sure.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Well, check engine light could be a lot of different things. It could be it could be low oil pressure. It could be a lot of times what that comes down to is a loose gas cap, oddly enough. I mean, I've had that on several times in my car. When I think I get the gas cap on fully, you know, it clicks and everything.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times that's a sign of a loose gas cap. And try that first. It's oftentimes emissions problems. Usually it's emissions related.
Right.
And the check engine light can be solid. It can be blinking. There's just a lot of different things. But in order to fully understand what that light specifically means. It's typically there's an oil light, so maybe the check engine light won't come on in all cars for that problem. But to really understand what the check engine light indicates, you need a scan tool in newer cars. And a scan tool is just a diagnostic tool that plugs in. Every mechanic shop has it now. Right. Every service bay in a dealership has them. Plug in underneath the driver's side dashboard. It will tell you exactly what the fault code is, you know, where to go, what sensor's bad, what's happening in the car that makes that light happen. So really, you need this diagnostic scan tool in order to figure out what's going on.
And you can buy one of these also now, right?
You can, yeah, and they're not very expensive. They can be very expensive, or you can get some that are cheaper, which will just kind of bare bones get you, you know, the code and what's going on. But the other ones are a little more advanced, a little more, I don't know if they're more user-friendly or not. It's kind of hard to tell just looking at the packages because I haven't purchased one myself. But
sure. I would feel weird if I bought one because I would honestly have to ask myself, if these lights are coming on this often, should I be spending the money on this tool?
Well, you know what? A lot of people that do modifications to their vehicle will find that, you know, if I mess around with the intake or the fuel system, I'm going to get a light in this area. And you don't necessarily understand exactly where it's coming from unless you have this tool, so it's very valuable to someone who does a lot of work on their own car.
So a check engine could be a range of things, and
a wide range of things. Yeah, it's
better
really,
to go to a pro.
It really is, even if nothing else, just to get the free check to see what's causing that, and maybe you can take care of it yourself or address that yourself. But for the most part, you have to take it in, see what's going on, at least to get it turned off.
Even. Yeah. And here's another one then, and this is what the Monte Carlo I mentioned earlier has, erratic driving where you're driving. Let's say you're driving an automatic and you're accelerating smoothly, but somewhere between the sole of your foot and the pedal and where the rubber meets the road, there's some jumps. There's a pouncing tiger in the engine.
You're saying your engine or transmission or something's got a little bit of hesitation, maybe?
Right.
Rattles of some kind? I don't know. Something's going on like that?
Yeah.
I guess it could be anything. It could be a fuel problem. It could be spark plugs. Most likely fuel problem. But, every instance is different. So the erratic driving thing, again, that really needs to be diagnosed carefully. You have to figure out when it does it. You know, if it's continuous or if it's just occasionally. If you go to the dealership and they can actually give you a kind of like a mini version of the scan tool that they have. They'll plug it into your vehicle's diagnostics and let you drive away with it, just for a couple of days or a day or however long they decide that it'll happen. Even if it's down the road, just to see what happens, and it will. You know, let them know exactly what's going on in your car at all times, and it records, you know, second by second what's happening, when the fault codes happen, what the speed of the vehicle is, you know, if you're turning left, you're turning right, what's going on. It really is a good tool to use.
It's so, like a black box for your car.
It kind of is, yeah. It's trying to think of what the name of that tool is, but I know someone out there is, you know, yelling it, but it's probably different for every manufacturer as well. But it's kind of like a ride-along, it's a co-pilot, really, I think is what it's called. And the co-pilot sits in the vehicle with you and monitors what's happening in your car. But it can point out a lot of these erratic driving situations or situations that, you know, are inconsistent, don't happen all the time, and you can't mimic them while you're at the dealership for whatever reason, because that always happens.
Yeah.
Look at the simple things like clogged fuel lines and fuel filters, and, you know, make sure the air intake is clear and your air filter's clean and the plugs are new, that type of thing. But just keep it simple, really. Just try to monitor what's going on exactly and be able to tell them exactly what's going on.
Well, then let's go to the lady we mentioned earlier, the pop-click lady.
And the noise lady.
The noise lady, beatboxer.
Yep. Well, this is simple enough, really. Noises, you can monitor noises yourself and really zero in on the location. It's more difficult when it's outside the car, like maybe if it's a part of the suspension that's making noise.
Oh, okay.
I've had problems at the right front that sound like it's coming from the right rear. It just is the way the acoustics of the vehicle handle it, or the way you're hearing it, or
especially when you're moving.
Exactly. It's very difficult to stick your head out of the window while you're driving and listen to what's going on, or just turn off the radio quietly, try to idle down a street and see where the noise is coming from.
Yeah.
Doesn't often work. But really, for the most part, noises, pretty simple to figure out. You know, if it's an engine noise that you're talking about, because we are talking about engine failure, mm-hmm. There's a lot of noises that can be associated with an engine that are normal. You know, a lot of maybe a little bit of valve clicking, you know, things like that are, mm-hmm. are normal to a point. But if it goes beyond that point where it gets to be an annoyance, if it's really loud, or if it becomes progressively louder, mm-hmm. you've got a problem. You need to look into it. But when you're talking about the mechanics of the car, the mechanical parts of the car, the transmission, the engine, pay attention to anything that's new or unusual or that becomes progressively louder. Mm-hmm. And that's a good indication that something's going on. And you can usually pinpoint those as well.
And you can case test these noises too. You can usually figure out on your own before you take it in that, hey, this noise only happens when I get above this speed, you know, or when I get below this speed.
Exactly.
When I'm trying to turn.
Find the parameters that right. cause this to happen, and then be able to hand the car over to the service technician, whoever that is, or mm-hmm. just understand it yourself, and maybe you can figure it out yourself. But when you hand it over, you can say, do this, and you'll hear it. And mm-hmm. they'll be able to identify what's wrong often without even taking the car out because they've seen it 100 times before.
They probably will sit and let you beatbox, though. They probably will listen.
Yeah, they probably will. I'd listen to you do that again.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I'm warming up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh,
I thought you were going to...
I don't know. I was going to make one up. Let's see. But I don't want to get busted because our listeners will know if it's a fake car noise.
Okay, good enough.
Maybe toward the end.
Okay.
You mentioned the nose earlier, though.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. You... might have been able to smell that loose belt if it had been, you know, loose to the point where it was burning. So if you smell burning rubber, which, mm-hmm. you know, wasn't coming from your tires, mm-hmm. the way you like to drive, I know.
Right, yeah, that's my problem.
Yeah, that's right. Now, if it was burning rubber and you could tell it was coming from under the hood,
yeah.
oftentimes that's an ill-fitting belt. It's rubbing against a pulley, and that's what's causing that. Or it could be a hose that's shifted onto something hot, like a, you know, exhaust manifold, or, you know, something okay. that it shouldn't be, or maybe against the block, whatever.
Oil, burning oil, maybe?
Could be burning oil. It could be hot wires. You could smell hot wires. It's a very distinctive smell. You've probably smelled it in electronics that have gone bad before.
Right.
That kind of high resistance.
Acrid, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of odors that can come from underneath the hood as well that, you know, and not to mention, you know, exhaust leaks, things like that can be dangerous to you. If you smell exhaust inside the car, that's really bad. You shouldn't ever have that happen. So if it's coming from your own car, if you smell a real strong mm-hmm. exhaust smell, you've got, you know, holes in the floorboards, whatever,
get out.
You just need to get it taken care of quickly because it's dangerous.
This is an interesting question, though. When people live in crowded car environments, you know, so probably a city, or maybe when their day-to-day driving takes them on a highway or any other high traffic area, we are kind of used to smelling these sorts of smells, aren't we?
I mean, but if it's consistent, if it mm-hmm. stays with you all the way home. I've had cars that have burned oil, and you know the air current around the vehicle, for whatever reason, draws it back up into the open window.
Yeah.
You know, just because of the shape of the car, where it exits the vehicle, you know, if there's a leak in the front. So just notice anything unusual. Again, just this all comes back to anything new or unusual. Just have it checked out or check it out yourself. You know, make sure that it's not something that's potentially deadly.
So treat car odors then like stray animals, and you know, the ones you have to worry about are the ones that follow you home.
Yeah, that's right. Be wary.
That was not the best comparison.
Close enough.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, thanks.
I appreciate the effort.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah, well, it's, you know, I'm a better beatboxer than a storyteller. What would you say is one of the most obvious, undeniable, dangerous?
Well, this also comes back to smell, but smoke from the vehicle. Not only from under the hood, which can happen, you know, if you have a leak and it's dripping fluid or coolant or, you know, mm-hmm. oil, whatever it would be, in, you know, someplace hot that you can usually smell it when it becomes smoke, or smoke from the tailpipe. Smoke from the tailpipe is not all that uncommon. We see it a lot, but it's either if it's white, it's either condensation or it is coolant that's been introduced into the system where it's being burned, and that indicates usually that there's a and in my experience I've had this happen before, white smoke screen behind me, it was a broken head gasket. And that's it allows coolant to get in where, you know, normally you're trying to burn fuel and air, and it's quite a mess, and it smells really bad as well. I mean, but white smoke, lots of white smoke, is really an indicator that there's other colors of smoke though too. So you can have blue smoke as well. Okay. It's kind of a blue gray looking, and that indicates oil burning, and that has a distinctive smell.
I've seen and smelt that smoke.
Yeah, I've had many cars that have burned lots of oil, and you know, it burns so much that, you know, if you find yourself adding oil often, you know, that your oil levels are low, and you're feeling a little bit ill when you're driving your own vehicle, that's time to get something taken care of. There's, you know, either bad rings inside the car, something's going on, it could be that it's burning oil that's leaking out of the block. Could be a bad seal under the hood. It's just a variety of things that can go wrong. So, again, just pay attention to what's going on with your car.
And let me point out this, too, as we're going over these things. You know, of course, our listeners, all of whom are awesome, take good care of their cars, pay attention to them, and know all of these signs. And so to you guys, we're really talking to you about spreading the message, because we all have that friend, we all have that girl or that guy who, you know, once every week, once every 2 weeks, while they're getting gas, just tops off their oil, doesn't even think there's a problem.
Sure, yeah. You know? I mean, that's another thing, you know, that we need to talk about, is that if you're leaking fluid all the time, if your car is constant, you know, care if it's brake fluid, if it's oil, if it's coolant, transmission fluid, whatever it is, that's not normal. Your car's not designed to leak. Those are for the most part sealed systems.
Right.
Definitely have it taken care of. Just that's what this all gets back to. And this is kind of a nice point to wrap it up here. Yeah. Is that always ask why something's happening. Why is that new noise there? Why is the why is it burning that fluid? Why is you know, what's that noise coming from? Where is it originating, or what's causing it to happen? So look for the root cause. That's the key to all of this, and to make your engine, you know, hopefully last for 100,000 miles or more, 200,000, 300,000 miles. It's just critical maintenance.
That's a great point. I guess if we wanted to sum it up in a fortune cookie, I hope I don't screw this one up too bad. Curiosity kills cats, but it can keep cars running.
That's not bad.
That's not great.
Not bad. That's kind of a long fortune cookie.
That is.
Well, let's see. That's about right.
I don't know, man. We might be on two line fortune cookies
maybe
at that point. But to our listeners there, you guys, once again, we appreciate your time. If you have a better fortune cookie statement, please send it in. And on the way, if you have any suggestions for future topics, please write us an email at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.